And then further on, another story, Vayakhi Shalcha Bincha Macha Lemar Mazot. Anybody asks you, what is this? Va'amarta, I love you. Say, B'chozek Yad El Tzion Hashem in Mitzrayim Beit Avodim. That God took us out with an outstretched arm from Mitzrayim. Okay. So, whatever exactly the mitzvah is, it's pretty well founded in the Torah. V'igadata levincha v'yomahu lemor, and v'ayaki shalcha bincha machar lemor. Right? When they ask you, you have to answer. That's more or less the biblical source for the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. Now, the problem with having a mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, I use the word problem as if that really means something. Hey, did I just disappear?
No. You're here.
Henry, am I on the screen?
Yes.
The source sheets are.
On the screen.
All right, well, we'll just use the source sheet then. Sorry, something happened to my camera. Anyway.
It's frozen.
Okay, maybe it'll come back on again. Anyway, the problem with having a mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim is that it's incredibly similar to another mitzvah that we have, which we know as Zichirat Yitziat Mitzrayim. Okay? The last parsha of Shema, if you go down to source number 3, skip 2 for a second, the Rambam says in Chol Kriyat Shema, Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel, Af al pi she'ein mitzvah tzitzit noheget balayla, you don't have to wear tzitzit at night, Korin oto balayla, you read Parsha Tzitzit, namely the third paragraph of Shema, Mipnei she'yesh ba zichron yitziat mitzrayim, u'mitzvah lehazkir yitziat mitzrayim, bayomu balayla. Right? So our first goal is going to be to try to distinguish between the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim and the mitzvah of Zichirat Yitziat Mitzrayim. Loosely translated, Zichirat is remembrance, and Sipur is telling over a story. Okay. Let's look at the Rambam in source number 2. The Rambam says as follows, Va'amitzvah kuf nun zayin, 157. He shetzivanu l'saper b'tziat Mitzrayim b'leil chamisha asar b'nisan b'tchilat halayla. Okay, you're supposed to tell over the story at the beginning of the night, the 15th of Nisan, the Seder. And here the Rambam says the words that I think are meaningful to us. Kifi tzachot lashon hamisaper. According to the skill level or the knowledge of the person running the Seder. Right, the Rambam here hints that different people can have different siddurim because their knowledge level is different. Okay, and then the Rambam says what we know. V'chol ma sheyosif b'ma'amar b'yarich ha'dvarim b'hagdolat ma she'asalanu Hashem u'ma she'asu imonu mi'mitzrayim. The more that we expand on and fill in the details of how bad the Egyptians were and how great God was to us, and already here you see who's missing from the story. Missing from the story of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim is the Jewish people. It's like we don't exist. Egyptians were bad, God was good, and we were the football in the middle, you know, that was the subject of a tug of war. Okay, let's go on. Me'avo v'chamas, all the horrible things they did to us, ve'eich lakach Hashem nikmato mehem, and how God took revenge on them, Uva hodot lo, and our obligation to thank God Yitbarach, al mashi gimalanu mechasadav yihyeh yoter tov. And the more we thank God for what He did to us, the better. And he says, Kimo she'amar she'amru kol amarich l'saper b'tziat Mitzrayim harein zeh mishubach, as we say in the Haggadah. Ve'hakatuv she'ba'al atzivui hazeh, and the pasuk that supports this mitzvah is the pasuk we read in source number 1. V'igadat t'levin chabayom ahu. Okay, now, I was going to skip this, but it said, and we were talking about it before, the Rambam says, Ein li ela bizman sheyesh lo ben. Maybe the mitzvah of Higadat Levincha of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim only applies if you have a child, but beino levein atzmo, right? In the sad situation we may face this year, what if you're having the Seder by yourself? Beino levein acharim, or you have no son, you have other guests. Minayin, how do you know there's such a mitzvah? Talmud Lomar, Vayomer Moshe El Ha'am, Zochor Et Hayom Hazeh, Asher Yitzatem Mi Mitzrayim. But there's an independent obligation on you to remember the day, even if you're not telling the story to someone else. Kilomar, Shehut Siva L'Zochor Kamo Amro Zochor Et Yom HaShabbat L'Kadosho. Now, that's a funny line for the Rambam to quote to support the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. Why? Because Zochor Et Yom HaShabbat L'Kadosho, we don't think there's a mitzvah to be misaper about Shabbos. We think there's a mitzvah to remember Shabbos. Okay? So that feeds into the first question we have to deal with, which is, what's the difference between Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, a mitzvah d'oraisa that we have every day of the week? What's the difference between that and the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, which we have only once a year at the Seder? Okay. The Rambam, we won't read number four. Number four is the Rambam in Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah, who essentially, you know, supports what the Rambam said in the Sefer HaMitzvos in source number two, and who also, in the second line, quotes the Pasuk of Shabbos as a source for this mitzvah. We'll just read the beginning. Mitzvah Taseh Shel Torah L'Saper Bin Yisim Bin Yiflot She'Nasu La'Avotenu Mitzvim Mitzrayim, where we have a mitzvah to tell over the miracles that were done to us in Mitzrayim. B'leil Chamishasar Bin Yisan She'Nemar Zochor Et Hayom Hazeh Hashe Yitzatem Mitzrayim Kimo She'Nemar Zochor Et Yom HaShabbat. Okay? So it's strange that the Rambam continuously quotes Shabbos as the parallel source for the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, when in fact it seems like a better source for the mitzvah of Zichirat Yitziat Mitzrayim. So the question I keep mentioning about the difference between Zichirat Yitziat Mitzrayim, a daily mitzvah, and Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, an annual mitzvah at the Seder, the question was first asked by the Minchas Chinuch. Okay, we're being Yotzei the whole Minchas Chinuch shir here. The Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Chaf Aleph, right, top of this, I guess, turn over to the second page, it's on the screen, asks, we'll just read a tiny bit, Im Kain, Ma Nitvaseif B'Leil Tedvav. Right, what's different about the 15th of Nisan from the 14th or the 13th or the 12th? What's the difference? It just seems like we're supposed to remember Mitzrayim every day. So what's unique about the 15th? And what he answers is, no. On a regular day, if you simply remember it or recall it in some fashion, perhaps even if you just think it, you'd be Yotzei the Mitzvah. But he says, with respect to Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, end of the third line, he says, below Sipur, okay, I'm sorry, Vikan Sarich Sipur Hanisim V'Niflaot She'asa Imanu Hashem Yitbarach. Says the Minchas Chinuch, on every day, you can just remember the fact that God took us out of Mitzrayim, and you'd be Yotzei that way. But at Leil HaSeder, you have to tell over the story. To me, I suppose the best example of it is, presumably, you know, every day, I don't know, you remember and you feel grateful that you're alive or that you're married. But once a year, you know, on your birthday or on your anniversary, you have to remind yourself and tell the story and think and reflect back on your life. And I don't know, maybe, you think about how you met your wife, you know, when you were set up the day before your wedding, that whole romance, however it works. Okay, that's the difference. The difference is every day you're supposed to remember that God took us out of Mitzrayim, but at Leil HaSeder, you have to tell over the story in detail. One of the most famous Reb Chaims ever relates to this idea. Reb Chaim lists four essential elements to Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim that distinguish it from the mitzvah of Zechira. One, he says, you have to do it derech she'ela u'tshuva, which means you have to ask questions and answer questions. So the Haggadah sets us up by way of, you know, obviously the four questions. But the idea is the more questions people ask and the more answers, that's a form of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. The second, and we'll come to this in a few minutes more deeply, is the idea of maschil bignus u'mesayim bishvach. When you tell over the story at Leil HaSeder, you have to start with how terrible life was, and then you get to the end of how great it is now, or how great it is that God intervened and He saved us. That's number two. Number three, says Reb Chaim, at Leil HaSeder, when you tell over the story, not just questions, not just start with the bad and end with the good, you have to have a form of show and tell, like in kindergarten. You have to pick things up. You have to have a dramatic telling of the story. That's why you have to have matzah on the table. You have to have maror at the table. We point at it. We raise it. We raise our glasses, right? We uncover the matzah. We cover the matzah. It's a form of show and tell. And the fourth element, says Reb Chaim, that distinguished between Sipur and Zechira is that Sipur only applies on the anniversary of the date of Yitziat Mitzrayim, right? It's the birthday. It's the, you know, it's our anniversary. It's that day. And you have to say, as part of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, Zachor et Hayom Hazeh. It's critical that people realize that the night that we're sitting at the Seder is, you know, I don't know, 3,362 years to the day that we left Mitzrayim. And Reb Chaim says that's probably why the Rambam uses the pasuk about Shabbos, Zachor Yom HaShabbat LeKadosho, to support the idea that there's a mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, because Zachor Yom HaShabbat LeKadosho and the Rambam can only be done on Shabbos. Just like Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim can only be done on the 15th of Nisan, on the anniversary of the date that we left Mitzrayim. Okay. So far, so good. That's the difference between Sipur and Zechira. And Sipur is a mitzvah that applies on the 15th. It's a mitzvah d'oraita, and it has those elements in it. Now that we know that there's a mitzvah d'oraita, you know what? I'm going to give me 1 second to see if I could fix my camera. And if not, we'll just continue this way. Just 1 second. So now the question is, how do we tell the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim? And here, I want to raise a broader question. Everybody thinks that they're a great storyteller. And to a certain extent, it's intuitive to us. But if you step back, if you read books about, you know, if you read about how to write a book, how to write a script, it's not always so easy to know where to start. And it's not always so easy to know where to end. Right? You know, you think of all these like Disney movies. Maybe that's the easiest way to do it. You need information. You know, you need to know enough information to care about the characters. Okay, that's critical. You need to build some tension. It's not working.
Yes.
Oh, good.
Elliot,
you need to build...
Also look at the chats.
I can't do all these things at once. If I have the thing on the screen, if I could take the thing off the screen, I could see the chat. Otherwise, I'm trying. Henry, is something wrong?
No, all is good. Just there was a question as far as, according to Rambam, Zechir is only on Shabbos?
No. According to the Rambam, the reason why he... not Zechir Yitzias Mitzrayim, not at all. Zachor et Yom HaShabbat LeKadosho. That's only on Shabbos.
Okay, that was the question.
Okay. Yes,
by Beryl.
Sorry, I'll keep going. So now we get to the point of trying to put together a story. Okay? And here again, we need to have enough background information to care about the characters. I know, but we need to have enough information to care about the characters. We need to know where to start and where to end. So if I asked you, if you were writing your own Haggadah, okay? Let's say we didn't have a text, and you had to sit down, you're by yourself in quarantine, and you had to decide, where am I going to start telling the story from? So let's just look at all the options, because they're fascinating. I suppose you could say, well, we'll start telling the story with the Jews in Egypt, right? And there's some truth to that. But then you say to yourself, wait, but wouldn't anybody who's reading this story say, well, how did the Jews get down to Egypt? So you say, okay, you know what? I'll probably start telling the story from Yosef and his brothers because that's what led us to Egypt. But then you say, wait, but we were going to go to Egypt anyway. Because what about the Brit Ben Abitarim? Right? Didn't God tell Abraham, Yadoa teida ki ger yezar cha ve'eretz lo lohem va'avodum v'inu otam arba me'od shana? Right? Could that really be? So then maybe we have to start there. But I don't know, maybe you would argue, well, maybe we should start from Lech Lecha, when God met Abraham. Maybe we should start from the beginning of Bereishis, right? It's not a simple thing to understand or to agree on where to start telling the story from. But if that's not simple, let's do the other end. Where does the story end? So you say, well, maybe the story ends on the 15th of Nisan, when we leave Egypt. But you say, okay, that could be, but we're just stuck in the desert. So maybe the story ends at Matan Torah, 49 days later at Har Sinai. But you say, okay, that's a big deal. Or maybe the story ends at Kriyas Yamsuf, okay? And then you go, well, maybe even at Mamet Har Sinai, that's not enough. So you say, well, where's the next place? Maybe the story ends only when we come into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, well, maybe that's not enough. Maybe the story ends only when we build the Beit HaMikdash. There are so many options for where the story begins and where the story ends. And now let's see what the Mishnah says. Look at source number 6. The Mishnah tells us in the 10th parak of Pesachim, Maschil bignus u'mesayim bishvach. It doesn't tell you where to start and where to end, but it tells you the story has to be told with the bad stuff first and then the good stuff at the end. And how do you do this, presumably? Or so the Mishnah says, V'doresh me'arami oved avi ad she'yigmar kol ha'parsha kula. Right? It's strange that this is part of the Seder that we usually blow through. But, you know, the parsha of Arami oved avi, which is pretty much at the end of Maggid, where each pasuk is darshaned individually, and again, sadly, that's usually the time of the Seder where we're running out of steam. But the Mishnah says that's the main part. Darshaning those psukim of Arami, Oved Avi, Vayeg, Mitzrayim, Vayagor, Shem, Yitzei, Ma'ad. In fact, skip, let's look at the very last source. These are the psukim that we're supposed to darshan, right? End of Sefer Dvar, Va'anita, Va'amarta, Lifnei Hashem, Elokecha, Arami, Oved Avi, Vayered, Mitzrayim, Vayagor, Shem, Yitzei, Ma'ad, Vayhi, Shem, Ligoy, Gadol, Atzum, Barah. Right, Arami Oved Avi, Machlok is what it means. In the Seder, it's darshaned as love on the Aramean, you know, tried to hurt Yaakov Avinu, and we landed up in Mitzrayim, and small numbers, Pasuk Vav, Vayareu Otanu HaMitzrim Vayanunu Vayitnu Olin Avodah Kasha, right, the Egyptians afflicted us, Vanitzakel Hashem Elokei Avotenu, we cried out to God, right, these are the Arba Lishonos of Geula. And then, God brought us to this land. Okay? So the Mishnah says, and by the way, those psukim kind of abide by the rules. It starts out with the bad stuff, Arami Oved Avi, and ends with the good, and we landed up in Mitzrayim, and then ends with the good stuff. Okay? All good. So you have to say that. Then we come to the Gemara in source number 7, and the Gemara tries to give us the details. The Gemara says, and we will all recall this, Maschil bignus u'mesayim bishvach, according to Mishnah, asks the Gemara, my bignus, what is the bad stuff that you have to start the story with? And here we have a famous machlokas. Rav Amar Mitchila of the Avodas Kiluvim or Avodah Zara Hayu Avotenu. Ushmuel Amar Avadim Hayinu B'Paro B'Mitzrayim. Okay? Two different shitos. Let's try to understand each one individually. Rav says the main story here, and I don't think I'm stretching it or dashing at all, the main story here is spiritual. The main story here is our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the bad part is originally, and according to the Rambam, this includes Avram Avinu at the start of his life, originally our forefathers were idol worshippers. Okay? And then what's the great, you know, what's the shvach of that? So it's not in the Mishnah, but Va'achshav Kerbanu Hamakom La'avodato. But now we've been brought close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we worship God. According to Rav, that's the framework for the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. It starts well before Avdus Mitzrayim. It starts almost at the beginning of the history of the Jewish people. And it ends with our coming close to God.
Eli, could you say there's a correlation or a chiluk between Rav and Shmuel as far as when it ends also? If Rav says it's...
Yeah, I think so. It's just...
So like today, what happened today, or what happened in the Holocaust?
So give me a chance. Okay? I don't know if I want to go as far as I hear you going, but I think it's a possibility. But let's work it through first. Okay? So Rav says that the story revolves around our relationship with God. Ushmuel Amar... Avadim hayinu lefaro b'Mitzrayim, vayotzeinu Hashem misham Mitzrayim. That's what we know. The story is what we would think it should be. It's about our slavery in Egypt and how God took us out. Okay, so one of the questions in the Rishonim is this a real machlokas? Is it really the case that Rav says it's focused only on Avodah Zarah and our relationship with God? And Shmuel says, no, it's focused only on the physical slavery. So according to the Avudraham, the answer is yes. They really have a machlokes. And presumably, at Rav Seder, they did not say Avadim Ayinu Lefaro B'Mitzrayim. And at Shmuel Seder, they did not say Mitchila Avodei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoteinu. Right? Because each one has its own approach. That is a Shita and Rishonim, but the better one, I think, it's not for me to say this, but the better one, or the one that I think we're most comfortable with, is it's not a real machlokes. The machlokes is which one is the primary theme and which one is secondary. And Rav says the primary theme is the spiritual relationship that we have with God. The primary theme is, are we close to God? Do we worship God? Or, you know, are we abandoning God? That's what the Seder is about, and, you know, that's what we focus on. And Shmuel would say, no, the Seder is about Yitzias Mitzrayim. Of course that's what it's about. And the primary thing we focus on is Yitzias Mitzrayim. But each would admit that the other is also true. So if that were the case, Rav would say, okay, first I say Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah at my Seder, but later on, I'll say Avadim Ayinu because I think that that's important also. And Shmuel would say the opposite. First, because that's the primary theme of Leil HaSeder. And later on, I'll talk about my spiritual relationship with God because that's also important, even if it's not the focal point. Okay? We, of course, do both things in our Seder, right? After Manishtana, we immediately say, Avadim hayinu lefaro b'Mitzrayim, right, vayotzeinu Hashem misham, b'yad chazakah, zron etziyah, etc., etc. And then we tell some stories, and we have the stories of the four sons. And then we come to the second shita, and we have, Mitchila ovde avodah zarah hayu avoteinu b'Mitzrayim. Okay, so we have both. But presumably, and what's a little strange is, if you were going to do it in historical order, right, the first thing you would do is Mitchila Ov de Avodah Zarah Hayu Avotenu. Right? Because that came first. That's well before the story of Mitzrayim. In fact, as the proof text, the Haggadah quotes a pasuk from Yoshua that says, "Vayomer Yoshua al kol ha'am, kol ha'asham al Yisrael, be'ever ha'nahar yashva avotecha me'olam, terach avi Abraham va'avi nahar va'ya'abdu Elohim acherim." Okay, so you're talking even before there was such a thing as the Jewish people. So that story should have come first. And then we would have Avadim ha'yinu lefal rov Mitzrayim. So it seems like the Baal HaHaggadah, the person who compiled our Haggadah, must think the primary story is Avadim ha'yinu lefal rov Mitzrayim, but I'll also throw in the secondary story of our spiritual relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so let's look at the Rambam in source number 8, because we'll see something interesting. The Rambam seems to paskin against what we do. Source number 8 says the Rambam, V'tzarich lahatchil bignut ulisayim b'shvach, as we saw in the Gemara, you have to start with the bad part and end with the good part. Ketzad, matchil u'misaper, you open and tell, Shebitchila hayu avotenu b'mei terach u'milifanav, right? Our forefathers from Terach, the father of Abraham and above, kofrim v'to'in achar ha'hevel v'rodfin achar avodah zarah. They chased after nothingness and they worshipped avodah zarah. U'misayin b'dat ha'emet shekervanu ha'makam lo v'hivdilanu min ha'to'im v'kervanu li'yichudah. And we end with the great part of the story, which is God brought us close, and we came to worship Him, and we built a real relationship with God. And the Rambam says, "V'chein." Similarly, matchil u'modia. Okay, you start and tell. She'avadim hayinu lefaro b'mitzrayim. V'chol harash shegemolanu. All the bad that he does. U'misayim b'nisim b'niflo she'nasu lanu u'b'chayuteinu. And then he says, Vahusha Yidrosh me arami obe avi aso kalaparsha, the cholamosipu marish bidrasha parsha zoharezum shuba. So the Rambam sounds like he paskins like Shmuel that the primary story in the Seder is the spiritual story, how we were originally obe avodah zarah, and now we came to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oh, and by the way, there's also another story, which is told through Avadim Hayinu Lefaro B'Mitzrayim. Okay, so it sounds like the Rambam paskins against what we do. Obviously, our Haggadah starts with Avadim Hayinu, and later on gets to Mitchila Ov de Avodah Zarah Hayu Avotein. So all this would be fine, the Rambam paskins one way, we paskin another. But the Rambam has a Haggadah in his Yad HaChazaka, and his Haggadah looks exactly like ours. It starts with Avadim Hayinu, and only later does it tell the story of Mitchila Ov de Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoteinu. And everybody asks, how could the Rambam's Haggadah not be consistent with how he paskins in the Yad HaChazaka? And the second question, which I think is related, is I don't really get any of this. If you look at, go back to source number 6, the Mishnah says, Maschil b'gnosum sayin b'shvach, and how do you do that? V'doresh me'arami oved avi. You do it by darshaning the story of verse number 9 that we all know, which was said at Parsha Bikurim, which starts with bad stuff and ends with good stuff. So I don't understand, what's this machlokes in the Gemara about whether mitchila ovde avodah zarah is the story, or Avadim Hayinu is the story? The Mishnah seemed pretty clear. The story is Arami Oved Avi. And when you look at it, you look at source number 9, it turns out that that's really the main part of the Haggadah. And it's funny, because I asked you earlier, if you were writing the story, where would you start and where would you end? But if I told you, write the story based on Psukim in the Torah, so I think most of us would start looking at Sefer Shmot and, basically pick psukim from Shmot, Va'era, and Bo, and put them together as the story. But the Baal HaHaggadah, the mythical Baal HaHaggadah, didn't do that. He just picked five consecutive psukim in Sefer Dvarim, which are said when we bring Bikurim to the Beit HaMikdash. And that became the centerpiece of the Haggadah, darshining Arami Oved Avi, as we do. Again, just to remind you, the way it sounds, I'm just flipping through a Haggadah, you know, say ulmad ma bikesh lavan ha'arami lasod li'akov avinu, right? That whole section, vayered mitraima b'nisei ma'ad, vayisham l'gar gadol, all of those are drushos on these psukim, on the psukim of Arami Oved Avi. So let's return to our question on the Rambam. How could the Rambam paskin the Yad HaHazakah that first you say Avadim Hayinu Lefarov Mitzrayim, and only later on do you say Mitchila Ov Avazar Yavotenu, when the Rambam paskins otherwise in the Yad HaHazakah? And the answer that's given by Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, and it's really a fantastic answer, and it opens up a whole new way of thinking of the Haggadah for us, is he says no. In the Rambam's Haggadah, Avadim Hayinu Lefarov Mitzrayim is not the beginning of Sefer Yitziat Mitzrayim. It's the answer to the questions of Manishtana. Right? The Baal HaHaggadah put in, I mean, they're Mishnayos, but you put in the Haggadah a question and answer format. So it only makes sense after you say Manishtana on the four questions, if the child asks the questions, you have to answer. So the answer is, well, the question is in this take, they're really one question. The child asks, I don't get it. We eat chametz tonight, and we eat matzah tonight and not chametz. We eat maror instead of other things. That sounds like it's a terrible night. It's a sad night. On the other hand, tonight we dip twice like we're rich people, and we are meisei, we lean as if we're rich people. So which is it? Is it a night of celebration? Is it a night of, you know, we're rich and we left Mitzrayim? Or is it a night of feeling like slaves? And the answer to that question is, Avadim hayinu lefarov Mitzrayim. It's both, right? We were Avadim, so we eat matzah and we eat maror. But, Vayotzieinu Hashem misham b'yad chazakah v'zroh netuyah. And therefore, we dip twice, like we're rich people, and we do haseba, like we're rich people. But that's not Sefer Yitziat Mitzrayim. That's just the question-answer part. Sefer Yitziat Mitzrayim for the Rambam begins with Mitchila Ov De'Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoteinu. Okay? That's a technical answer to the question on the Rambam. But the stronger question is, what's going on? The Mishnah makes it clear in source number 6 that the centerpiece of the Seder is darshaning Arami Oved Avi. And then all of a sudden the Gemara comes and says, wait, what's the Maschil Bignus U'Messayim B'Shvach? Well, everybody knows the answer. The answer is Maschil Bignus is the Anit of Amartal Lifnei Hashem Elokecha Arami Oved Avi, etc. And the good part is Vayotzieinu Hashem Mimitzrayim B'Yad Chazakah. So why do the Amoraim have a Machlokes that seems unnecessary in the Mishnah, when the Mishnah seems so clear that the centerpiece of Sefer Yitziat Mitzrayim is nothing more and nothing less than the Parsha of Arami Oved Avi. Okay? So here, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says this amazing thing, and it really does open up a new vista on the Haggadah. What he says is as follows. In time. Okay? The original Tanaim lived in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? And for them, Arami Oved Avi really did represent the centerpiece of the Seder. Why is that? So to us, the Parsha of Arami Oved Avi is something we know primarily from the Haggadah. But if you lived in Israel, you know how you knew, if you went to the Beit HaMikdash, you know how you knew the Parsha of Arami Oved Avi? Because when you brought Bikurim, in one of the most emotional ceremonies of the year, when you came to the Beit HaMikdash, source number 9, Arami Oved Avi, That was the parsha that you read when you brought your Bikurim. So it wasn't just some obscure psukim that we came across once a year. It was something that Jews tried to memorize. Right? The Mishnah in Bikurim in the third parak talks about how originally, you know, you came to the Beit HaMikdash, and if you knew it by heart, you said it. But then other people were embarrassed that they didn't know it by heart. So the Mishnah says they changed the takana, and they said that, you know, Kohanim said it for all of us. But the short answer is, it wasn't just some random words. It was, for us, it's like, I don't know, it's like saying Ashrei. Everybody knows Ashrei by heart. And now, I'll point out something else. All along, I've been dealing with Parshas HaBikurim, Parshas HaRami Ovidavi, as if it has five psukim. But of course, it had five psukim, and it has five psukim in the Torah, but we only say four of them. Okay, let's look at it again. You say in front of God, Arami Oved Avi, right? Our forefather was a wandering Aramean. Vayered Mitzrayim, he went out to Mitzrayim, and he lived there. Vayarei Oton HaMitzrim, the Mitzrim were bad to us. We dash in that pasuk. Vanitzak El Hashem Elokei Avoteinu, we cried out to God, and we dash in that pasuk. Vayishma Hashem et Koleinu, and we dash in that pasuk. Vayotzienu Hashem miMitzrayim, and God took us out of Mitzrayim in the way that He did it. Vayivienu al hamakom hazeh, vayitem lenu et haaretz hazos, eretz zavat chalav udvash, that we don't say. Why don't we say it? So it seems obvious. It seems obvious to me that in the original Haggadah, or said differently, the Haggadah that Jews used before there was a Haggadah, the Haggadah that Jews used in Eretz Yisrael, they said all five psukim, including Vayivieh olam makom hazeh, Vayiten lanu et haaretz hazos, Eretz zavat chalav udvash. Why did we stop saying that? Well, in the time of the Amoraim, we were in the Golos. And so presumably it was painful and maybe even dishonest for Jews living in Babel to say, here's this great story, right? Originally we were slaves, but thank God, God took us out of Egypt and He brought us here and life is great and we have a Beit HaMikdash and everything is great. We live in the land of Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash. But it wasn't true when we were in Galus. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says, when we dropped the last pasuk, as we had to, because it wasn't honest to say Vayivienu l'makom hazeh, the parsha of Arami Oved Avi kind of lost, you know, it lost its magic, because everybody knew that the story of Arami Oved Avi was supposed to end in the land of Israel. It wasn't supposed to end in the Golos. And so the Amoraim came and said, listen, now that Arami Oved Avi, which is what the Mishnah focused on, isn't really or can't be the centerpiece of our Haggadah, because it's not really true. The story doesn't end in Eretz Yisrael. So Maschil B'Gilsum Sayim Mishvach, let's have a machlok. Exactly what are we talking about? Are we talking about Avadim Ayinu, or are we talking Mitchiva of the Avodah Zarah? But according to Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank's pshat, originally, that was secondary. Everybody understood that the centerpiece of the Haggadah, the Maschil Bignusum Sayim Bishvach, was the Parsha of Arami Oved Avi. And it seems, there are early sources that seem to make it clear, that originally, all five psukim were part of the Haggadah. And there are people now, I think there are movement to do it, although no one's jumping all over this, is to put the last pasuk, to put pasuk tet, back in the Haggadah. Right? If you live in Israel, isn't it clear that that's the end of the story?
Ellie?
But, yes?
If it was dishonest to say the last pasuk in time and Amorim, the many parts of the Haggadah, even no matter where a person is, he has to, you know, he has to lean and he has to make believe he's not an Abdus. So even times when we were in Abdus, post Mitzrayim, or whatever was going on, we still had to sort of like contextually, you know, use the, experience of Mitzrayim, and he sees Mitzrayim, and not to say what the Mitzvah is today. So yeah, in that context...
You're exactly right, Henry, you're exactly right. And a good example of that is this year. You know, when we send Halach Mana, Kol Dishin Yeseviyah, Kol Kol Dishin Yeseviyah, as if we're inviting people to our Seder, in a world where nobody wants a guest at their Seder, right, because it's dangerous. It's true that for the most part, you know, we try to hold on to and find meaning in the existing text. But you're talking back in the time of the Tanaim, where, you know, it was just a question, should we say the last pasuk, the time of the Amoraim, should we say the last pasuk or not? And at some point, well, there's two ways to look at it, okay? I'm presenting one perspective. Remember we opened with the discussion of, you know, where does the story end? So let's be honest. In the Haggadah that we have, the story pretty much ends on the 15th of Nisan. How do I know this? Because there's no place in the Haggadah that it talks about Kriyas Yamsuf, right? And there's no place in the Haggadah that it talks about Matan Torah. Easy, Henry. Dayenu doesn't count. It was a later edition. The Rambam doesn't even have Dayenu in his Haggadah. It's clear that we chose to make the Haggadah focus only on Yitziat Mitzrayim. To a certain extent, it's because we have to have, you know, when you're deciding where the end of the story is, we have to have other holidays. So the seventh day of Pesach, Shvi Shel Pesach, that's kind of the holiday of Kriyas Yamsuf. And of course, Shavuos is the holiday of Matan Torah. And to a certain extent, Sukkos is the holiday of coming to the land of Israel. Well, for sure that that's the case. But it could be, and this I believe, and I think it's amazing, it could be that Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank is not exactly right in this case. Maybe we never said Pasuk Tet. Maybe we never said Vayivyeinu la'makom hazeh vayiten lanu at ha'aretz hazos eretz zavat chalav udvash, not because it wasn't true, but because Pesach is not supposed to be Yom Ha'atzmaut, right? And we have to arbitrarily start the story someplace and end the story someplace. But then, it's amazing, Chazal chose, or the Tanoim chose, the Parsha of Arami Oved Avi, and let's assume they chose it without the last pasuk. So for us, we don't think about it, because we don't know it by heart. But imagine if you're in shul, and the Chazan says, you know, Tilat Hashem Yidaber Pi Vivarech Kol Vasar Shem Kadsho Lo'olam Va'ed, and he stops there. What happens? You know, every guy yells out, Va'anachu Nevarech Kol, because we know it by heart. And I think when Jews sat around in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, if it's the case, and they said, Va'anita Va'amarta, the Parsha of Arami Oved Avi, and if they didn't say the last pasuk, they knew the last pasuk. And they kind of winked at each other, and they understood what was going on, which is right now we're focused on just Yitziat Mitzrayim. But we know where the story is supposed to end. And the story is supposed to end in Eretz Yisrael with the Beit HaMikdash. Okay? So let's just recap, and I'll make one last point. We talked first about the difference between the daily mitzvah of Zechirat Yitziat Mitzrayim and the annual mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, with the four major differences between them and all the details there. Then we talked about kind of the development of the Haggadah and how we got where we were, where presumably the centerpiece is Parshas HaBikurim, Arami Oved Avi. That seems to be what the Mishnah meant as the centerpiece of the Haggadah. That was Matchil Bignut Umisayim Bishvach. But we saw this interesting pshat that perhaps the Gemara, the Amoraim, had a machloket because the Parsha of Arami Oved Avi became less central when they lived in Chutz La'aretz, and people didn't feel comfortable making it. So, you know, they focused more on Avadim Hayinu and Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoteinu. But my point is, it all plays into the question, and to a certain extent, the arbitrary question of where the story begins and where the story ends. And each of us, you know, would tell the story and probably should tell the story in the way that makes the most sense for us and our families. You know, where do we really want to start the story? And I think we also have a decision to make about where we want to end the story, right? Because the story is open-ended. It's true. The text focuses only on the 15th of Nisan. But Dayenu starts hinting, you know, at later things. Again, it wasn't part of the original text. And we can ask ourselves that question. And the point Henry started making before, I think, is a fair point. It could be that in different years, you know, different parts of the story or different endings speak to us. I know when we came to Israel, obviously, you know, coming to Israel and living in Israel spoke to us more than it did when we had a Seder in Tina. And I suppose this year, you know, our spiritual relationship with God probably takes a more central role in our Seder experience than does the physical part. Because right now, you know, the way I see it halachically, we're living in a Shas Hashmad. It's a time of persecution, except it's not Christians and it's not Muslims. It's a virus, and, you know, sadly behind that, it's God. And so I could see a situation, and I really believe it to be true, that the text of the Seder is the text. The text of the Haggadah is the text. But the parts that we emphasize, and the parts that speak to us more, it changes. It changes with our age. It changes with our family status. And this year, it's changed radically. And my feeling is that at our Seder here, you know, whether we can bring my mother, my mother-in-law, all the sad things we talked about at the beginning, I assume that mitchila ovdei avodah zarah, not literally, but the fact that, you know, perhaps we're too distant from God, and the role of the Seder this year is to be focused on our relationship with God, and va'achshav kevron ha'makom la'avodato, to a certain extent, I think to myself, in the most sad way, it's true. Va'achshav, now, in the midst of this virus, in the midst of this worldwide terror, kervanu ha'makom la'avodato, God has brought us closer to him. I think we are more religious now. I think we daven better. I think we're more God-aware. I think we're more sensitive. We're more caring. We're all these things. And maybe what needs to be done is to convince God that we won't stop being this way after we're terrified, and that he's taught us the, whatever the lesson is we're supposed to be learning, and we move on. Okay? Again, the idea being the text of the Haggadah is the text, but we have some ownership interest in it, and we have a choice and we have an obligation to emphasize the parts that speak to us more, and, you know, each of us has to make that decision for ourselves. Okay, I hope this was helpful. Really enjoy spending time with you. Shabbat shalom to everybody. Okay?
Ellie, thank you so much.
Yes.
Pasuk Tes, why isn't it just speaking about the ultimate geula?
So that's
rather than just,
it's easier for me to insult Henry than you, but...